So some of you might know, particularly kids, during lockdown, as we were following the series on 1 Peter, we were following the adventures of a certain survival expert whose name is Lion Fries. Now, you might be able to figure out why his name is Lion Fries when you see this picture that should be coming up, because he is friends with Bear Grylls. Might penny drop moment. So Lion is a bit of a survivor. He reads a book called The Ultimate Survival Manual, which teaches him how to live, and he follows the ultimate survivor, who is the one who has lived perfectly and is the best example to follow. So the kids have been having videos where they learn what Lion Fries has been up to each week. So just like we follow the example of Jesus, who lived perfectly, and we follow the Bible and what it teaches us, Lion follows the ultimate survivor. So we're going to hear what Lion has been up to this week. I think he's got some new developments to share with us in a couple of videos today.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Ultimate Survivor with me, Lion Fries. It's great to see you all again, especially if we haven't met before. And I've got some exciting news to tell you today. Can you guess what it is? I have been appointed as a survival leader by the Ultimate Survivor. Can you believe it? I must have been following the Ultimate Survivor manual really well if I have been appointed as a leader of those other people. Do you remember my friend Giraffe Bakes from a few weeks ago? Well, I'm going to be such a great leader, and I'm going to be able to get my own back on him, and I'm going to tell him that I'm in charge of him and I'm superior to him, and I cannot wait to be his leader. It's going to be great. So the thing is, I've decided to go a bit rogue. I reckon I know enough of this manual that I'm just going to try it my own way. I'm just going to lead in my own way. I know enough of what to do. So I'm going to tell you a few things that I've done so far as a survival leader. And I want you to think about, have I been a good leader? I reckon I have. Let's see what you think. So the first thing I did was, I've got another friend called Rhino Cooks. And now I get to be in charge of him. Can you see these snail shells? Well, it was my job to eat the snails in the snail shells, but I didn't really fancy it. I didn't really want to do it. So what I did was, and I think this is genius, I got Rhino Cooks to eat the snails out of these snail shells. And then I took the credit for it. I told everyone that I'd done it, even though it was Rhino. Doesn't that make me such a good leader? Because now everyone thinks that I did it. I mean, I know it's a bit dishonest, but now everyone thinks I'm really good at bug eating and everyone thinks I'm a really good leader. So that's fine. I didn't have to eat the snails and I look good. Double bonus. The next thing I did was I saw some baby monkeys and they needed some help, but I thought that's a bit unimportant. I don't think I really need to help them. I don't want to serve them. So I just carried on walking. And I think that makes me a really good leader because I could see that the baby monkeys were just too unimportant for me. I'm really important now, so I didn't help them. I think that makes me a really good leader as well. Don't you? I think you'd agree with me. And the last thing I've done so far as leader is, I've been yelling down this vuvuzela and telling everyone that I'm in charge of them. I've told everyone I know that I'm the chosen one, that I'm in charge, and I'm superior to them. Every chance I've got, I've told them. So now they know that I'm the best and I'm better than them and I've been ordering over them. And I think that makes me a good leader because now everyone knows that I'm in charge and I'm the important one. So yeah, I think I'm a pretty good leader. I hope you think I'm a pretty good leader too. I think I've been a good example and I think the ultimate survivor will be super pleased with me. And I think I've followed the manual pretty well. What do you reckon? Anyway, catch up with you in a bit. It's good fry from me. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight.
So, what do you guys reckon? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Was Lion a good leader or a bad leader? I'm seeing a lot. Oh, Emily thinks he's a good leader. That's good. No, I'm a bit shocked at old Lion. I don't know about you, Gary, but I'm not sure that Lion was really following the Ultimate Survivor's example. I don't think that he would be very pleased with old Lion today. What do you reckon?
Well, Lion, a good leader? You know what, I've been reading the Ultimate Survivor's Guide manual a lot lately, and I'm really not convinced that Lion is as good a leader as he thinks he is. I mean, just take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and you'll see Peter is talking about how to be a great leader, and yet he includes nothing about what Lion was talking about then. If you've got an Ultimate Survivor Guide with you, aka the Bible, you might like to turn to this passage, 1 Peter chapter 5. It's found on page 1220, if you use in one of these red chapel Bibles, if you're here in the church, and we'll see exactly what it says there, because as I said, I'm not convinced that Lion really knows this guide as well as he says he does. So, from verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 5, we read this. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Okay, so this passage is written especially to elders. What are elders? Well, elders, they have oversight in the church, don't they? They are church leaders, and they are the ones who bear ultimate responsibility for the spiritual well-being of other Christians, but not just any old Christians. Did you notice there in verse 2 that the elders are responsible for those who are under their care? So they have a responsibility specifically to those who are members of the congregation, of those local churches that they serve in. Which, when you think about it, is a really great reason, isn't it, for having church membership. So that the leaders, they know who they're caring for, and so that you, as church attenders and members, know who it is that is caring for you. And that's why we try and encourage everyone here at Surrey Chapel to become a membership. So, to become a member, to come into membership, so that we know who we're meant to be caring for. But did you notice also what Peter calls the elders there? He calls them shepherds, doesn't he? Now, I don't know about you, but I have never seen Rob or Reg or Philip or Andy walking around with a tea towel on the head carrying a stick. But just in case you wondered what they would look like if they did, here are a few pictures. Okay, that's what they look like. But I've never seen them look like that. Maybe you have if you've seen them around the house, I don't know. But that's because in the Bible it tells us not to look like shepherds, but to behave like shepherds. That's what it means there. And we see that very clearly in verses 2 and 3. There we are given three examples of what it is to behave like a shepherd, what it means to be a leader that Jesus wants us to be. And first of all, as we see there, elders are called to watch over the flock, the members of the church, not because you must, Peter says, but because you are willing. In other words, elders are to lead willingly, not because we have to, we're not under compulsion, not because nobody else will do it, and I suppose I have to do it. We do it because we love those who are under our care. It's to be a delight, not a duty. And just as real life shepherds, they go out, don't they, and they protect the sheep under their care from all sorts of dangers, whether it be a steep hill or a hole that they might fall into, or a fox or a wild dog that might seek to attack them. In the same way, in the church, leaders, the elders, the Bible says that we should help those who are in difficulty. You are to protect our own church members from all sorts of dangers, whether that be false teaching that comes into the church, or maybe people who come into the church trying to disrupt things, or seeking to drain the resources and the people here and wear them out. As shepherds, we are to protect the sheep under our care. So that's the first thing, we are to lead willingly. And then secondly, Peter says that as elders, we are not to pursue dishonest gain. In other words, Peter says that we are to lead honestly. Now, when I was at school, which is obviously a very, very, very long time ago, as my children keep telling me, we used to have a design and technology teacher who was nearing retirement. In all honesty, he had probably been in the job a little bit too long because he got a little bit grumpy, although he was quite a likeable fellow. But when the kids were misbehaving in his particular class, he used to kind of sit at his desk, lean back in his chair and say, "It doesn't bother me because I get my pay regardless." You see, although deep down I reckon he liked the kids that were under his care, he really wasn't that bothered, because at the end of the day, for the main reason that he was there is to pick up the paycheck at the end of the week. That was the most important thing to him, or at least that was the impression you got. He also used to say things like, "Shut that door, boy, were you born in a barn," and throw chalk at us, but that's a different story. But as leaders, especially in the church, we aren't to lead for financial gain. We're not to lead for what we get out of it. We are to be eager to serve others. We are to go above and beyond the call of duty for those under our care in the local church. And so we are to lead honestly. And then thirdly, Peter says that we are not to lord it over those who are entrusted to us. That instead we are to lead humbly. We aren't to be like Lion Fries in the video earlier, who had that vuvuzela, who was blowing his own trumpet and yelling at people, "I'm in charge." You know, people aren't going to follow that kind of leader, are they? And they shouldn't follow that kind of leader either. Instead, we are to lead, as we've seen. We are to lead willingly and honestly and humbly. And why are we to lead like that? We'll just take a look at verse 4. We're told there, "So that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." As leaders, as elders, as shepherds, we are simply looking after people until Jesus, who is the chief shepherd, comes back. And when he does, we won't receive a medal around our necks that might rust. We won't receive a crown of olive leaves like they do in the Olympics, which might fall apart and wilt. We won't receive the praise of men that will soon disappear. We will receive, as the Bible tells us, a crown of glory, an inheritance in heaven that will never, ever fade. And that should be all the motivation we need, isn't it, to lead and to lead well. So having spent a little bit of time just looking into the Ultimate Survivor's Manual ourselves, and having had a bit of time to think about these things himself, let's see if Lyons changed his mind about what it means to be a leader.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Ultimate Survivor with me, Lion Fries. So it turns out that I wasn't so great at the whole being a leader thing, so I'm back to being a normal survivor, which is absolutely fine by me, because I reckon I'm going to be the best survivor that the world has ever seen in the whole of history. In fact, I don't even reckon I need the Ultimate Survivor Manual anymore. That's how confident I am. So I'm just going to leave it here for somebody else to use who actually needs it. I know it talks about how to protect yourself from attacks from lions and other things, but I think it was just actually holding me back. I'm going to be absolutely fine by myself. I don't need it anymore. I know that it also talks about casting our anxieties on the Ultimate Survivor, which is a really lovely thing, but my question is, what anxiety? You could call me Mr. Brave. Or, here's another one, what about Mr. Fries, the Fearless? Or even better, I've got another one, Lion, the Lion-Hearted. It's all in my name already. I have no anxiety. I even know how to protect myself if I got attacked. I'm absolutely fine by myself. I need no protection or advice. I rely on nothing and nobody. I do keep hearing a few strange sounds, though. And I've seen maybe a few weird paw prints in the ground. So I'm wondering if something's going on. I definitely know how to protect myself if I'm attacked. And I definitely don't need the Ultimate Survivor Manual, but... oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, nobody move. Oh my goodness, do you see that as well? I think it's a lion. I think it's a lion. Run, run, run. I know I said I didn't need anybody, but I was a fool. I trusted myself and I turned away from everything that could help me. I was arrogant. Oh my goodness. Run, run. Good fry from me. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion runs away tonight. That's a bit embarrassing, isn't it? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Do you think he was being a good survivor? Emily, yes, well done. No, lion ended up pretty much being attacked by a lion of all things. Can you believe it? Could that have been prevented, Gary? I'm not sure forgetting the manual was his brightest idea yet.
We'll come onto that in a moment. But it was good to hear, wasn't it, that Lion reconsidered the fact that he wasn't such a great leader after all. It's good because, as we've already seen, bossing people about, being dishonest and yelling at other people really aren't great leadership qualities to have. That's not how Jesus wants us to lead as elders in the church or as leaders anywhere. But you know, having just heard what Lion has also said, I'm not convinced that the lion has really got what it takes to be just a regular survivor either. So unlike Lion, who doesn't seem to be reading this book very much, let's just take another look at the Bible and to see what it says about how we're to live as ordinary citizens if we're going to survive in a hostile world. Speaking first of all to those who are younger and then to all of us, from verse 5 in 1 Peter chapter 5, we read these words. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. As we've discovered over these last few weeks of looking through the book of 1 Peter, these people that Peter has been writing to, they found it really, really tough to live as believers and to stand up for Jesus. Their families, they couldn't understand why they read their Bibles or went to church. Their friends, they would make fun of them because they didn't believe the same kind of things that they did. And their colleagues at work, they wouldn't invite them along to things and to those places that they were going out to. I don't know whether you've ever been left out, perhaps, at school out of something that was happening, whether you've ever been picked last, perhaps, for a sports team. But it can be really quite hurtful, can't it, when that happens? And that's what these Christians were suffering, all because they believed in Jesus and they weren't afraid to live for him and tell others about him. And now as we reach the last part of this particular letter, Peter gives them and every single one of us some final instructions before he kind of pops this letter in the post and sends it to them. Having just spoken, as we've just seen, to the leaders in the church, Peter now addresses every single one of us. And the first thing he says is the last thing he said to the leaders. He says, be humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, Peter writes, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So what does it mean to be humble? Well, in that video, Lion, he showed us exactly the opposite of what it means to be humble, doesn't he? Can you remember what he called himself? He had several names for himself. He called himself Mr. Brave, didn't he? He called himself Mr. Fries, the Fearless, and Lion-Hearted. But then he also went on to call himself arrogant as well, didn't he? And that's the very opposite of what it means to be humble. If we think that we can do things on our own, in our own way, without God's help, then it's not being very humble, is it? Lion thought, didn't he, that he could live without the ultimate survivor's guide, without God's word, the Bible. And that's why he decided to leave it there by a tree for someone else to pick up and read, but he wasn't going to read it himself. But again, we aren't to be so bold and brave that we leave Jesus out of our lives. Instead, we are to cast, Peter says, we are to give our anxieties, our fears, our weaknesses over to Jesus. Because he's made us, he knows us, he loves us, and he promises to look after us. So the first thing we need to do is to be humble as a people. And then next, Peter says that we are to be alert. As we saw there, in his overconfidence, Lion Fries didn't actually realize that there was an actual lion sitting right there behind him in that tree. Now, of course, we know, don't we, that it was just a cuddly toy. Not very frightening at all. But what do you think would happen if a real lion appeared, a lion a little bit like this one? What if he was sitting there by that tree over by the flyover? What would happen to Lion Fries then? Well, I don't think there'd be a lot left of Lion Fries, would there? He would be completely and utterly devoured. And that is what Peter is talking about here in verse 8. When he says there, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, Peter says. You see, as Christians, we have, don't we, a very real enemy who the Bible calls the devil, who is trying to go about and destroy our faith, who is trying to make us, as Christians, give up on God, to try and make us live our own way. When we suffer in this life, just like these early Christians were, when someone says horrible things to us, when something terrible happens in our lives, perhaps a friend or a family member becomes ill, or maybe they even die, the devil may tempt us to believe that God no longer cares for us, that he's kind of abandoned us in life. And yet, that just isn't true. That's the devil's lie. And so, Peter, he urges us to be on our guard, to be alert, recognizing that the one who is in us, that Jesus, is far greater than the one who is in this world, the devil. Yes, the devil, he is very real and powerful, and yet he is ultimately a defeated foe. He is no match for Jesus. And so we are to be alert, secondly. And then finally, Peter says, we are to be strong. Stand firm in the faith, Peter writes, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And once again, when someone has been unkind to us or when terrible things happen in our lives, it can be really easy to think, can't it, that we're the only ones that are suffering. But Jesus reminds us that we have brothers and sisters that are Christians and they're all over the world and they are suffering too, that we aren't the only ones suffering, that we're not on our own in this, even though it might seem that way at times. Other Christians are going through and have gone through what we are going through, and sometimes much, much worse. And at the same time, Peter reminds us that when we are feeling sad or when we're left out, that we're to remember that these bad things will only happen for a little while we're living here on earth. They are only really temporary because God promises that in the end, he will make everything right. God promises to look after us. He sent Jesus to die for us, didn't he? So that we can say sorry to our Heavenly Father for our sin. And one day we can be in heaven with him, where there will be no more people who say unkind things to us. There will be no more boasting or no more being left out. Yet in the meantime, he promises to help us, to be all of those things we've just been thinking about, to be humble, to be alert, to stay strong. That's how we're to live and to survive as Christians in this world. Let's just pray, shall we, as we think about those things. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your word, the Bible. We thank you for the book of 1 Peter, for what it teaches us about how we can survive in this world around us. Lord, we know that we're not in a battle against the world itself. We are seeking to win the world. But Lord, we have an enemy, and that is the devil. And we just pray that you would help us to stand up under his temptations. Lord, we pray that we would live lives that honor you and lives that reach out to others and seek to tell them the good news of your death and your resurrection and the new life that you can bring into each of our lives and that eternal life that we can have. Lord, help us to understand these things, to believe these things, and put them into practice, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.